Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We'll bounce around for sure, but Heston Kerstad, out of Arkansas, and if memory serves, correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan, when the Orioles took him at two, kind of stunned a lot of people, and myocarditis, I mean, it's COVID in the throes of it. Then as he got better there, which is the most important thing, hurt the hammy down in Florida. That set him back. Came back enough where he was on the playoff roster in 23. Started to cook a little bit last year, then took one upside the melon from Clay Holmes. But came back to the point he was on the playoff roster again last year. But what I was saying earlier in the week, not that I'm Terry Crowley by any stretch of the imagination, and to borrow a line from Jim Palmer, the only thing I knew about pitching and hitting, I couldn't do either one. You throw me the ball, I'll catch it. But the power, and we've seen glimpses of it, and he goes a lot to left field, and you're going to explain why. But he's got all field power, and we're not really seeing, not, he's not the only one, by the way, but if your calling card is the force in which you hit the ball, we're not seeing it hit with a lot of force. And we heard the double play. We mentioned this in the opening of the show. The Orioles lead the majors in double plays hit in two, which is a stat you don't want to lead the league in. But where's all the thump from old Heston Kerstad here?
Well, I mean, look, first off, going back to when he got drafted, you know, when I looked at him coming out of college, and I was still playing at that time. I was in the Orioles organization. But when I looked at, okay, who is this guy that they're taking it to? You know, because I was curious. I knew he was a top player. And the more I watched him, I go, man, he might be the best pure bat left-handed hitter coming out in the draft. That's really what I saw. Why? For those reasons. He could hit anything, hit it anywhere. And then the heart condition, that issue right there, where they weren't sure if he was going to be able to recover from that. I remember still it was at the alternate site and it was in Bowie and we're down there and all Heston could do was walk around the outfield track. So he's come a long way to show what he's capable of doing. Now to the point of what his game's about. We mentioned before powers to all fields, but if you talk to Heston, he's not going to say he's a pull hitter. And it's evident. If you even look at his stats and look at his numbers, most of his hits are up the middle to left. He'll pull a ball, but usually it's a breaking ball. So last year in 2024, Bob, all of his hits, when you look at it, he has a couple that he pulled, but his homers are dead center. Really kind of left center to right center, but mainly dead center. And then he has one double to left center, right? Everything else is mainly up the middle. That's how Heston lives. He goes, I'm going to use the whole part of the field because it gives me a better chance. I'm not going to give up the outside part of the plate, and I don't want to be too early and be susceptible to breaking balls away. That's the worry. But there is a point where you wonder, okay, you do play at Camden Yards. If you hit it to right and off the wall and go big ball, there's an advantage there. So I think for Heston, though, it's he doesn't want to try to reinvent what got him there, But at some point, you're going, okay, are we going to see that power come about? But it's not just a Heston thing right now. The Orioles in general aren't hitting for a lot of homers at the moment. But it is one thing to monitor. I do truly believe, though, Bob, that Heston loud pop and power to all fields, it's coming. But we just haven't seen it yet. But as we're talking about, he's 31 plate appearances, 29 at-bats in right now. When he gets rolling like we saw in 2024, when he got that streak going, that was the one thing I was most disappointed about, because I thought he would have probably hit 10, 15 home runs to finish out the year. I really did. So I just hope he can find it, because he is an extremely talented hitter.
And at 26 years old, too, let's not forget, when does the clock tick to... All right, he's still one of our highly regarded. He's no longer a prospect. He's a major league player, but to the point where it's like, yeah. I don't know.
I'm curious, how many at bats do you think he has in the big leagues right now? If you haven't looked at it,
I didn't. I was looked at. He's hitting 207. I know his OPS is below .500.
You had that one locked and loaded.
I'd like that to be his own base percent. I'm going to go with total at bats.
Total at bats as a big leaguer.
500. Not even.
158.
I was way off. Sam,
so, but here's the point of that. You get 1 month of playing every day. To say it was 30 games, you get four at bats a game, that's 120. So we're saying in less than a month and a half of games, that's a sample size, and he hasn't even done it in 1 year. So I think we mentioned earlier about guys at the big league level got to figure out how they can be successful at the big league level. Well, Heston's trying to figure that out right now. I think if we didn't have that injury last year, we'd have a way different feeling about where he was. But it's still a question mark because he missed all that time. But 158 at-bats, that's it.
Just want to see more. I'm with you. You know, and even Bob throwing out that number, I mean, I can understand where that comes from in your mind, because it feels like he's been here forever. You know, it feels like we've been talking about this guy as the next big thing, as a former top overall or number two overall draft pick. We're having these conversations for years and years. So for him to only have really just scratching the surface at the major league level, it is disappointing. And whatever the reasons have been, and it's been a variety of them, he has had terrible luck. But this year, it truly feels like this is his best chance to play more than he ever has. There's less people blocking him. People are frustrated about the lineup, but I feel like he's played a decent amount this year. And when it's all said and done, assuming he can stay a little more lucky in the health department, I think the numbers will reflect it.
Yeah, with Moon Man out for another month plus, and a righty going tomorrow, Bowden Francis for Toronto, you expect he would be in that thing. All right, let's get out to the phones. People want to vent. Got buy or sell coming up here in a couple of minutes. Orioles are off today. They haven't won a series yet. They're 5-8. Back end of the standings. American League East, JT in Parkville. JT, thanks for holding. What is happening?
Bob, Ryan, what's going on?
How you doing today?
First off, you two got to tell Jason Lockhart to stop with the Corbin Burns stuff. He was not going to sign here. If the Orioles had reversed and they offered him the 220, he wanted to go to Arizona. He was going to sign at Arizona. That being said, the fact that the Orioles did not, New York gave someone a lot of money.
Max
Boston
Fried
traded for somebody. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like Zach Eflin, but he's... Well, now he's on the shelf, but he's at best a number two. You don't have that shutdown guy. But why I really called, my birthday's Saturday. And if the Orioles lose, which I think they do, I hope my fellow Oriole fans shake the foundation of the yard when the pregame is done. I really hope they do, because I got three UAW shirts that have an American flag with Home of the Star Spangled Banner on it. I mean, I can remember getting bumped to second shift in 95 and then having to work up the line to see a certain guy's father breaking a record they thought would never break.
JT getting himself all lathered up. All right, JT, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy early birthday.
And hopefully they do not lose on Saturday, the game in which they're going to wear the all-orange uniforms. And thanks for mentioning my dad breaking the how many beers can you drink down in New Orleans
record. It's a record that will never be broken there.
I believe it was 1995, September 6th. And he ran around the bar until he fell down in the parking lot. We'll come back, buy or sell. Going to count the money late week. Hopefully you got some of that. And, you know, I'm not an expert on finances, but some tariff stuff, I think, did us a solid yesterday in the stock market. Get back to your phone calls, bottom of the hour at 410-583-1057. Got American League East report in the 1 o'clock hour. Ryan Ripken, speaking to Corbin Burns, actually spoke to him. So we're going to hear from the ex-Oriole and Mike Harmon. Fox Sports Radio. He's a national host. He could talk about everything. He's out there in La La Land with the beautiful people. So we'll talk about the Dodgers, maybe Luca. And he's a White Sox fan, too. Ugh, you think it's tough being an Oriole?
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan right now.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not gonna buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Time to count some money, hopefully. It's buy or sell. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken. Vinny's in St. Louis with the Penn State hockey team and his son Charlie. They play tonight, 8 o'clock. You can see that game on ESPN2, Nolan McGraw, of course. Plenty to get into in regards to the world of sports. You got the NBA and NHL season winding down. Baseball season's a couple weeks in. Basketball season, college is over. Maryland trying to put together a team under Buzz Williams. Got the NFL draft, first round 2 weeks from today. No shortage of topics, but right now, most importantly, Nolan, it's got that dough by yourself.
Well, no matter what the outlook is, if I'm reading the stock report, can be sure of one thing. It's going to be red. And it is red across the board today again. S&P 500 down 298. Dow Jones down over 1,800. Under Armour down 60 cents. DraftKings in the hole, $2.18. Even the NASDAQ down over $1,000. So take that for what you will.
That sucks.
I can't remember the last time I read a green... a stock that was in the green on the show. But you know what? Maybe it's a me thing. As far as our...
You be you. That's right. What we just said.
You be you, Nolan.
Right. Well, sometimes... Yeah, anyway.
I think Dow Jones is pitching for the Twins today against the
pretty
Royals.
Good, pretty good. Yeah. All right. We're starting in the NFL. Patience runs thin very quickly in the NFL. It's all about results. Little to no leeway with rebuilds or retools. Got a list of 4 teams here from Cody Benjamin that are entering make-or-break seasons. As he sees it, the Colts are in the mix. A somewhat promising 2023 with Shane Steichen taking over. They had a winning record at 9-8, still missed the playoffs, then downgraded last year to 8-9. A lot of quarterback uncertainty for them. That's the main source of frustration. Meanwhile, their division been pretty wide open these past few years. Certainly up for grabs anyone who wants to take it. Bob, are you buying or selling? The 2025 is truly make or break for Steichen and the Colts.
I'm going to buy that 100%. Also make or break for Anthony Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
top four pick out of Florida. I mean, we've seen the physical traits are certainly there. He's been hurt a lot. They seem to get a little juice offensively when Joe Flacco took over because he incorporated the wide receivers. But Jonathan Taylor, you know, for running back, big workload. Their offensive line's been in flux. You mentioned the winnable division, even though I think Houston's still kind of above the rest there. But absolutely big year for the Colts if Shane Steichen wants to be their head coach and if Anthony Richardson is in fact the long-term answer quarterback.
Over to the Orioles, blanked in yesterday's series finale, maybe even more frustrating. Can't really seem to get the ball off the ground. Sure, they're not striking out much, or at least they didn't yesterday, but still too many double plays, a league-high 16. And on top of that, a lack of home runs, been well discussed as well. So far in 13 games, they have 12. Now, that's middle of the pack by league standards so far, but by the O's recent history standards, it's way low. Last year, they launched 235, their most since 2016. Meanwhile, their lowest home run total in the last 15 years was in 2010. They hit 133. Buy or sell, Ryan, this year's team will finish with even lower power numbers, under 133 home runs.
Ooh, I'm going to sell. I'm going to sell it. I think that the Birds' bats are going to get hot here. And I think that we talked about some of the other guys that maybe had down years. You know, Ryan Mountcastle didn't have 30 home runs. He might not hit 33 this year, but he's due, right? We just mentioned Heston Kerstad earlier. Feels like if he's going to get his opportunities, he'll be due. Gunner's going to get going. He's going to get his. I think Cedric Mullins is going to push for 20-plus home runs. So I think at the end of the day, and also Captain Biceps and Tyler O'Neill, I think when he's healthy, he hits dingers. So I'm selling. I think they're going to go over that. I just hope that this Birds offense, for everyone's sake, they get those home runs flying. If Baltimore is being, if ball is being played in Baltimore on Friday, fireworks can start then.
Over to the NBA, the Grizzlies. We know they moved on from head coach Taylor Jenkins a few weeks ago. And while Memphis remains in the thick of the playoff race, their season probably still categorized by many as a disappointment. That upward trajectory that they had just a few years ago, Ja Morant as a rising star, it started to disappear. And Morant in particular, having his worst statistical season since 2021, reports also out there that he wasn't really happy with the firing of Jenkins, and all of this leading to speculation amongst media and fans that he could be a trade piece, even though Memphis is trying to shut down that conversation right now. Buy or sell, Bob, the Grizzlies still have some more runway before needing to blow things up, so to speak.
I'm buying it 100%. And they've won three in a row, so they're kind of getting it together a little bit. Zach Edey had a monster game in their last outing with, 19 and 17, something crazy like that. Remember, Jaren Jackson got hurt and missed a lot of time, and he's one of the better defensive players and power forwards in the league. So I wouldn't – well, for Taylor Jenkins, he's like, hey, great, thanks a lot for what you did to me, but – I don't think they're done just yet in the blow-up category.
Go back to the O's here. Charlie Morton, one of the low points of the pitching staff so far this year. Very slow start. A clear lack of command in all three of his outings, leading to, as you would guess, a lot of walks and the real damage coming after that. How many walks? 8 in 13 and a third innings pitched. That's a pace that is far higher than what he's turned in recent years. In fact, Morton's walk numbers between 2018 and last year, almost identical year to year, usually falling somewhere between 55 and 65. You can set your watch to it. His pace right now is over 90, maybe even pushing 100. Buy or sell, Ryan, assuming he reaches the same innings totals as recent years, 160, 165, somewhere in there, his walks will end up falling back in line with the previous career averages.
Yeah, I'm going to buy that. I'm going to trust it because you know what? Someone's got to keep this ship afloat in this studio here, Nolan. But in all seriousness, though, I do like to trust a track record. The one thing that goes against Charlie Morton, what, is his age. But he's been going out there, and I think the last 3 years, probably 4 years, everyone's going, when is Charlie going to fall off? Is it going to be the year? Now, it could be this year, no doubt about it. But one thing that I'm noticing that is very obvious to me, you know, his curveball is kind of that pitch that sets things up. He hasn't had great control of that over the first few outings. And you even look at from a it's one of his top put away pitches. He's not getting the whiffs that he necessarily wants. So if that is down, then I'll say I'm going to worry about the other pitches, because that means if they're not swinging at that pitch and it's going for a ball, okay, that could be a concern. But if he can get that back on track, I think we're going to see the walks start to slow down a little bit here, and hopefully Morton's going to right the ship.
Yeah, because the velo's still mid-90s, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the big thing is that is his pitch. That is his put-away pitch. This year right now for curveball, 18% put-away percentage. That's down significantly from 2024.
When we come back, your phone call. Sports at 583-1057. Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw. Orioles off today. Host a three-game series against the Blue Jays starting tomorrow night. Baltimore Baseball Tonight brought to you by Jerry's Home Services with me and Ryan, and I believe Joe LaCroix. At Pickles, weather permitting. So do we get, all right, it's going to rain tonight through Friday into Saturday. Like, hey, let's be prudent and maybe set up a doubleheader for, you know, Saturday. Or is it like, let's cram like sardines and pickles and have some fun and drink and eat for free. And then, oh, by the way, we're postponing tonight's game. Let's get out to the phones. Orioles off today. Got Toronto coming to town tomorrow. Start a three-game series. Let's go to Louisiana. Bring in Brandon. Brandon, thanks for holding. What's up?
Thank you, fellas. Good afternoon, everybody. Too early to hit the panic button. If you look at this version of, I guess you could call them the liftoff Orioles, since Mike made that statement a couple of years ago, they've had two great regular seasons where we've won a division title, and we've also had a good regular season last year, where we hit the playoffs thinking we were going to do some damage just to fizzle out. And so I'm fine with us struggling this year and maybe having to claw our way into a wild card spot, having to struggle this season, as long as we make the playoffs, because that's really all that matters. So if we struggle this season, I'm fine with that, as long as we make the playoffs. But just briefly, issues that I have with the current team, we don't have speed. And so because we don't have speed and we're not hitting home runs right now, what I would do is move Jackson Holliday into the leadoff spot. He can be like our Trey Turner if he develops properly, and it adds length and depth to the rest of our lineup, and have Gunner maybe hit third, and then we have the lineup depth with Hauser maybe coming back in July to hit seventh or even eighth. I think that's really the only way this year, because our pitching is so bad. We can't rely on that, but we don't have the team speed to manufacture runs like the Royals or the Tigers or some of those central teams. So we're going to have to put Holliday in the leadoff spot, put Gunner at third, and really hope that our lineup has the depth to withstand the injuries that might happen the rest of the season. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Brandon, good thoughts there.
Yeah, appreciate it, Brandon. I mean, look, I understand, you know, the Orioles, the strength of the team when you're looking at it, and the ceiling, I guess they should say, on the positional side, is that 1-9, this team can produce, but you got to find a way to do that consistently. And you just mentioned the AL Central. When you talk to pitchers, some of these are my former teammates, Bob, that people, if they don't know, but I've talked to guys on the team, and they go, you know how the AL Central plays? They scratch and they claw, and like we just alluded to, you manufacture runs. The Orioles need to have a little bit of that edge to them at times. You need to find guys that can fit that role. That's what a great lineup does. Yes, it would be great to say 1-9, everyone has the power to do it, but it goes back to knowing thyself, the Jim Tomey reference, Charlie Manuel. Some guys are really good at driving some in. Some guys are good at passing the baton on. Some guys are good at causing chaos on the base pass. Whatever your role has to be, that's where this thing's going to start to sink into place. And for Jackson Holliday, I wanted to make that point. I wouldn't be surprised if Jackson eventually moves higher up in the order, but it's not going to be coming soon. They want him to get comfortable. They're trying to take as much pressure off of him as possible, because once you make the move high up, I want Jackson to stay in that spot. But right now, he's still trying to build that confidence as a young big league hitter.
Is it an Orioles team that lacks team speed, however?
I don't think so. Actual speed? No. Base stealers, the guys that know how to steal bases, that can be up for debate, because they got guys that can run. You've seen Gunner get going, Jackson, Cedric, I don't want to – Mateo, obviously.
Sure.
They got some burners.
Kowser can get around the
bases. Kowser can, but there's a difference of being a burner and a guy that can be a great base runner. And I would say Cedric Mullins, great base runner, and he can steal bags. Some of the other guys, I don't know if they know the art yet of being really good base stealers. So that is one thing I think that they could work on. But speed, they got speed. They just got to learn how to utilize it.
All right, let's get back to the phones. Go to Bel Air. It's Mike. Mike, thanks for holding. What's happening on this Total Request Thursday?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I just want to talk about the Orioles. First and foremost, when I think about going to an Oreo game, first thing I say is, why should I make an investment in a team when the owner didn't make an investment? They did nothing to improve themselves when the competition improved itself. When Boston came into town, we saw what a number one star is. We lost our number one. Boston went and got a number one. He dominated us. You know, every year we talk about this. Pitching, you know, and the Orioles don't do anything to improve their pitching. You know, it's, we always hear excuses. Oh, wait till the young guys come. Wait till the young guys are. Well, the young guys are here. Okay. If you want to play with the big boys, you got to spend money. You know, we have a billionaire owner who didn't spend money. The Orioles will be mid third, fourth, and we'll be talking about wait till next season. You know, he wants to make money, but he doesn't want to win pennants or championships. You know, so P.T. Robinson said,
all right,
a fool's money is soon parted. I'm not that fool.
All right, Mike says, till you spend money, I won't spend mine. All right. We'll get to Corbin Burns top of the hour, where they offered him $45 million a year. Their payroll went up over 60% this offseason. So I'm speaking for me, not for Nolan, because nobody talks for Nolan.
No one.
The only beef I have is they could have been more involved in the Crochet deal. And Garrett Crochet, and he's already had Tommy John and limited innings pitched, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. He goes from Chicago to Boston for Wickelman Gonzalez, and full disclosure, I have never heard of any of these guys. Chase Meadroth. Are these like real people or is this like made up stuff?
Sure.
Braden Montgomery and Kyle Teal. So a 4-for-1 prospect for an all-star young left-handed pitcher with a slight, well, I don't want to say slight, Tommy John's pretty significant injury history, who had just for one season run transition to the rotation. But I want it all in on that.
Yeah, I mean, look, going to Garrett Crochet, I think that is the one thing this offseason where I could look at him going, if the Orioles really wanted him, they really wanted him, they could have got him. But the big thing that they wanted in that package, they wanted the White Sox, they wanted Jackson Holliday, and they wanted Sam Basayo. And you look at that deal, Kyle Teal is the player you just named, and I know that name.
Okay.
Kyle Teal is one of the top catching prospects, but you know who's higher than him? Sam Basayo, right? And Sam Basayo, and I've watched him, I've looked at him, I talked to you off the air about him. A slam dunk. I do not let this guy leave Baltimore. He feels like he has a Salvador Perez, Yordan Alvarez feel, and he's 20 years old as a catcher. Don't want to give him up. Red Sox were willing to give that guy up to Chicago. So I don't know what it would have taken, but the Orioles, with the prospects that they've had, they could have probably gotten him, but there is risk. Crochet hasn't pitched a ton. He just got paid a lot of money. But the Orioles, the reality is, he did go to a rival. And Crochet, I guarantee you, for this year, if he's healthy, he's going to be at the top of the Cy Young, and that is going to be a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, and the Orioles saw his awesomeness up close and personal, I believe it was a week ago, or today, or last week, for sure. We got time for another call. Nolan McGraw, let's go to Steve in West Baltimore. Steve, thanks for holding. You're on with Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, and Quick Draw.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Hey, Ryan, Wookie was making that a point about the Cleveland reference. You hit that right on the head and everything. What I see is this, okay? On the American League East, is anybody running away with the division so far?
Nope.
Exactly. People are pressing that panic button and everything else and all because they're so used. What it is, Ryan and Bob, people got spoiled. because the team matured faster than the GM expected. That's number one. Number two, you know, you look at it like this. It's the first one who gets 80 wins. After you get your 80 wins, you start counting your blessings and hope that you make the playoffs and everything else and all, okay? People, listen, stop panicking, all right? They're going to come around. The team is going to come around. As far as the pitching and everything, if I'm going to say one negative thing, I will say on the GM, you got to let some of them prospects go to get good pitching. Gentlemen, y'all have a good one.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, can I just chime in on that? And I love the level-headedness. I love it because that's the reality. They're three games back. They're not playing good ball to start the year that they wanted to. But this is why you got to play out a season, and that's why I was alluding to we're not going to know enough about the Baltimore Orioles until we get to June, realistically. And all you have to do is stay afloat. And let's put it in this case. Let's go to the past couple years. The Washington Nationals, when they won the World Series now 6 years ago, they were 19-31. Went on to get hot and win the World Series, sneak in there. We know the rest. The Mets last year were hovering, trying to get to 500 in mid-June. They go on a run, go to the CS. Obviously, they lose to the Dodgers, and the rest is history. Baseball is unlike any other sport where the best team does not always win in the postseason. You just got to get there, and sometimes it takes longer to get to it. But you just got to hope that you can stay in the hunt until the reinforcements come and you're playing better baseball.
Come back, take more phone calls, get to the fun house coming up at 1 o'clock. Corbin Burns, been talking a lot about him. Now in Arizona, Ryan Ripken spoke with him up close and personal, old Howard Cosell, Frank Gifford style. We'll break that out for you. American League East report, as a matter of fact. What are the standings looking like? Where were the scores last night? And we'll preview today's games as well. And then Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. He's as sharp as what's a sharp thing? He's that guy from Fox Sports Radio. Corbin Burns. A little one-on-one with Ryan Ripken. Ryan, of course, is with us today and tomorrow. We're going to hear what he had to say about, you know, why Arizona? Why not the Orioles? We had a caller earlier saying the owner didn't want to spend any money. Well, they made him a $45 million a year offer. Now, length of contract might not have been what he wanted and all that fun stuff, but $45 million would have made him the highest per season average in the history of baseball for a pitcher and put him, what, in the top five in total salary? So that sounds like a guy that was looking to spend some dough. But people want to vent, and we're going to let them vent. Bob Hayden, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw, total request Thursday, pick a song, play, get your votes in, featured artists Friday, blah, blah, blah. Eric, South Carolina. Eric, thanks for holding. What's happening?
Hi, Bob. I don't know if this has been mentioned or not, so being in South Carolina, I would know. But has anyone mentioned signing Trevor Bauer? He's willing to play for a league minimum show-me contract. He's been proven innocent of all the allegations. He's got proof. If you go to his Twitter account, he's got proof that he's got video proof of his innocence, that the girl was intending to set him up and he hadn't done anything to her. So I was just wondering, you know, maybe bring the guy in, have a press conference, and then let, you know, all the reporters come in, ask him anything, everything, and sort of like Billick did with the Super Bowl, and say, hey, you know, we're gonna address this now, but then after that, it's over.
All right, Eric in South Carolina, what do you think, Trevor Bauer? I mean, you talk to players all the time, and front office types. Is he persona non grata? It's not just the Orioles aren't signing him; nobody's signing him.
Well, I think that's the bigger thing here. It's not an Orioles thing. It's not a situation where, hey, teams are desperate. They need depth. We're going to go get them. There's clearly there's more to this. And look, the legal side aside, you know, because that obviously is one thing. You know, clearly there is tension between Trevor and Major League Baseball. And that was from the get-go. And I think that is the bigger thing here. Is that, you know, and this is just a theory, but there's probably around there going, because of the past, you know, we're not going to deal with this. And it seems like it's been universal, Bob. Like, I haven't heard any team say, we have reached out to Trevor, we're bringing him in. And right now, Trevor's over pitching in Japan. So he is doing his thing over there. I just don't see it happening, not just for Baltimore, but for anything. You know, quite frankly, I think the days of Trevor Bauer being a pitcher in the big leagues have come and gone. And for whatever reasons you think it's fair or not, that's just the reality of the situation.
Yeah, and it's not isolated to the Orioles. And we talk 1,000 times about teams needing pitching.
Yeah.
This guy in his prime, which isn't that far ago, what, 2-3 years ago, maybe 4, he's at the top of a rotation, Cy Young winner. But volatile guy, too. I mean, he was always maybe not the best clubhouse guy, or was that kind of a falsehood about him, too?
I think it's sometimes not fair to say, especially for me, I was never in the clubhouse with him, right? But other guys, I've heard really positive things, and I've also heard not so positive things.
Like him
things.
And Cole hated each other when they were at UCLA, right?
Correct. Yeah, so I mean, everything is different with players. One thing that we do know is he brings a lot of attention, and for teams, that's always something. Is the baggage going to be able to equal out what he does on the field, right? It's with any player in any sport. Is the baggage worth what's happening? And if the player goes out there and does it, some teams are going to turn and say, hey, great. But if there's any doubt, they don't want to put up with it. And for Trevor Bauer, he would create the most baggage and most stress around a team. And just take that with Baltimore. I don't see Baltimore wanting to deal with that, especially with them trying to figure some things out with this young team.
Nolan McGraw, we have time for a pun house, or will we be exhausted our hour number 3?
We're up on it here. We got a 5-minute break, top of the hour.
Okay, and then we'll come back. We'll get Corbin Burns, get Nolan's thoughts possibly on bringing in a Trevor Bauer, which isn't happening. I think it's pretty obvious. Or someone would have signed him by now. As Vinny always says, when the headache becomes bigger than the production, you get rid of the headache. Hey, look at Deshaun Watson. All the baggage he has. Hey, if he led the Cleveland Browns to 3 straight AFC championship games, no one be talking about what he did off the field. But since he sucked on top of it, now they can't wait to get rid of him.